Well, good morning again. How many of you are Cubs fans? I know. Whoa. Okay, this is a for real baseball. How old are, well, I won't go there. Let's just say this is dated June 17th, 1984. So that would make it about 16 and 18, 34 years oldish, something like this. And who remembers Ernie Banks? Oh, wow, Mr. Sunshine, Mr. Cub, played first base. When I was a kid, it was like... No. Ernie Banks was on first. Where was Billy Williams? Right field? Kessinger, Becker was at second base. Ron Santo, where did he play? Okay, and who was the announcer for the leadoff man? No... Jack Brickhouse, and sometimes Lloyd Pettit. Remember Lloyd Pettit? And it would be on at 1:10 in the afternoon. And when I grew up, we didn't have air conditioning, as much as I love it. Yeah, Amber just gave me an oy vey, you're right. But so we used to go to my friend Bino's house. That wasn't his real name, but we called him Bino. And we would watch in the summer the Cubs games at 1:10, and it would start. Well, my father's been gone, I think he's going to be gone, I got to do the 20, I think he'll be gone 28 years in November. So, and I don't have, you know, we have pictures left, but, you know, over the years, whatever stuff he had, you know, kind of, I have some tools and some other stuff. But this morning I said, Susan, do you think we still have this baseball? And she says, I think we do. And I'm like, well, do you think you could find it? She says, I think I'll try. I'm like, well, thank you very much. And we were kind of going on like this. And it says to Nate, my father's name was Nathan, and they called him Nate, Faith Ernie Banks. And this is one of the first, the only things left that was really, I'll say, of any importance to my father. And I'm not exactly sure, he didn't catch it at a ball game, but I think my father used to own a store downtown, and I think Ernie Banks used to come in sometimes. He was a customer, and he signed this baseball for my father. So, I think he hit over 500 home runs, if I'm not mistaken, and he was a pretty cool guy. Kind of a little bit different than the players are nowadays. You know, I think he was just one of those guys. But we're going to be talking about faith today. It's interesting. I don't know if anybody noticed. Maybe Donna did. Last week, we used the same... bulletin covers, and it was just by chance because it says Hebrews 11. We used it last week. I says, Barb, do we have enough to use it again this week? Because I'm preaching on this. Hebrews 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So somehow things kind of work out that way. So Hebrews 11, I don't know, it's always been like, some people have life verses. I don't really call it. It's like my favorite verse of the Bible, Hebrews 11. And we're not quite sure who wrote it. You know, if you read some of the commentaries, it's, you know, a half a dozen different people wrote it. Nobody knows for sure. But basically, it was written to the Christian Jews, kind of like me, the Messianic Jews, the Jews that became Christians back in the day. And they guess it was written before the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, and I think that was around 70-75 AD. So it was written after Jesus' death and resurrection, but not, you know, not too much longer after that. So maybe, you know, 30 years after that. So who do I put my faith in? There's the big question. And I was thinking about it. I put my faith into a lot of different things. How many of you have Allstate insurance? The good hands people, you know. I used to have State Farm. I don't know what they are. Now I have that little critter, the Geico guy, you know. But we have the Allstate, the good hands people. I put, you know, some people put their house or their cars into that. That's kind of faith that they're going to be there when you need them. I've been going to a service garage for, oh my gosh, a long time. 30 years at least. I grew up with these guys, you know, and it's a small place in Elmhurst. Actually, we take the church van there because I trust them. I put my faith in them. And for many, many, many years, we've been taking all our cars there. You know, my prayer is that they keep us safe and they keep us reliable because we drive a lot. How many of you like, I think Casey could be in the air right now. I believe he's flying Air Canada from Tel Aviv to Toronto and then on to Chicago. Paul's flying from somewhere to Chicago. You've been on airplanes? I mean, we've been all over the world and lots of airplanes. And you know what? I don't even know the person flying the plane. Donna, you just missed a flight recently, right? You went to get on, but you wouldn't know who the pilot was or who the co-pilot was. You get on this plane and you're hoping they know what they're doing. But what if it's closed? Okay, so you get to see who it is, but you don't really know if they're a pilot or not. We hope they're a pilot. Could I see your license, please? But we put our faith in them. We're getting on this plane and, you know, with hundreds of people. We flew from South Africa to Germany on one of these, I forget what it's called. It held like 500 people, a two-story plane. And it's like there's somebody up front there that nobody knows that's flying this thing, and I put my faith in him. Surgery, how many of you had surgery? You know, I've just had one last November on my back, and it's like I'm not so concerned so much about the surgeon. I'm more concerned about the anesthesiologist, you know, like, is this your first time? Have you done this at least a few thousand times before? But your faith is in them because they're going to take you out and hopefully they're going to bring you back. And so then there's this guy that I don't really know him real well. His name is Ed. I see him at the health club. Well, he's pretty much there every time I'm there now, twice a week. Ed's never seen me. Ed's blind. Ed's probably in his 60s, and Ed has a yellow lab named Nyack. He used to have a black lab, and I don't know where he gets these dogs. They look like they're just like, I mean, they're just out of it, you know. He follows him in the locker room. He sits outside the steam room waiting for the guy to come out. He's just kaput, you know. But his name is Nyack, and I was once talking to Ed, and he said, yeah, I put my faith in Nyack because he has to. He's blind. And that dog knows his way. He walks through the locker room, goes to the steps, and he takes him outside. Needless to say, Ed doesn't drive. He waits for, I think, his daughter picks him up. But his faith is in that dog. Some of us put our faith in jobs, you know. That's a big, important part of our lives. Maybe in our retirement accounts or our pensions, you know. Since I'm getting to be 50 now, I think, or something. I'm starting to think more about that. Like, you know, where is that going to be? And then I was thinking about the military, you know. We watched that. Navy SEALs, is it? Is that what it's called? Or SEAL Team or whatever. And, you know, the whole idea is there's no man left behind. And, you know, that there's this camaraderie and brotherhood and stuff like that. So they kind of have their faith in each other. And where's Randy? Randy, you're in the back there. Wave your hand. Randy's a fireman, and I assume you put your life sometimes in your fellow workers' hands, would you say? At times, not all the time. And Bob Jennings is a policeman, and, you know, it's like you've got to have faith in something, and I think it's a good thing. Our son is a policeman, and we were at his house, I don't know, last week or whatever, and I was talking to him. I said, so like when it's, he works 12-hour night shifts, and I said, so like at 2 o'clock in the morning when you're pulling that, you know, that car over, you know, what happens? What do you think? And he's like, she should close her ears. But it's like, I know there's others out here with me. I'm not alone. I have faith in them. Because he's a Will County sheriff, so he's on the Will County channel. If he's in Joliet or Plainfield, you've got the local police. You got the ISPERN, Illinois State Police Emergency Radio Network. You know, he's like, I'm not alone. I have people that got my back. So kind of was thinking about that, and it's like, well, who can I call at 2 o'clock in the morning when things are really, really bad? Who can I call? And if you have somebody you can call, that's a really good thing. But obviously where I'm going with this is you can call on him anytime, any day. So I want to introduce you. Some of you might know my friend Siri. How many of you are friends with Siri? Okay, so you need to keep your Siris quiet for a minute. So, but see, we can ask Siri lots of things. I've become kind of close with Siri, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But hey, Siri, what time is it?
The time is 11:23 a.m.
Wow, she's pretty good. She knows, you know. Hey, Siri, what time is it in Tel Aviv?
The time in Tel Aviv, Yafo, Israel is 7:23 p.m.
So it's like 8 hours ahead in Israel. Hey, Siri, what's the temperature?
It's about 87 degrees outside. Hot.
Hot. Does yours say hot? So, you know, what's that? Hey, Siri. Who wrote the book of Hebrews?
Check the display on your iPhone for the answer.
Yeah. Basically, she doesn't know. She's going to the web. Okay, so how about this? Hey, Siri, do you believe in Jesus? Hey, Siri. Do you believe in Jesus?
My policy is the separation of spirit and silicon.
Okay, so she's reneging on that. Hey, Siri, do you believe in the Bible?
I don't believe that I have beliefs.
Okay. I know some people who would answer like that. And hey, Siri, do you have faith?
This is about you, not me.
Ah. That's really the ultimate thing. It's really not about Siri. It's about me. It's about you, 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 and you, and you. So how many of you like to know the weather? Some people, I think, are pretty obsessed with the weather. I believe my phone, I have at least 4 weather apps, you know, WeatherBug, blah, blah, blah. And some of you were out to our house a couple weeks ago. We had this kayak thing, and for the whole week, it was like, every day, Paul's like, what do you think of the weather? What do you think of the weather? And I'm like, the phone says, you know, when it's raining, it's not raining, you know, it's going to do all this crazy stuff, but we're not quite sure what it's going to do. And then if you listen to our favorite weather girl, excuse me, weather lady, what's her name? Cheryl Scott, yes. Do you ever watch her? She's like, oh my gosh, she cracks me up. It's like, whoo, what's this? But anyways, you know, Cheryl, well, the European model says we're going to get 12 inches of rain, and the U.S. model says 11, the Canadian model says 8, the other U.S. model, and, you know, they've modeled, they have these computer programs, and they put all the history into it, and they have different parameters, and then it spits out what it thinks it's going to be, because we kind of want to know what's happening, what's the future going to be like. Hey, Siri, when am I going to die?
One possibility I see is Adventist Hinsdale Hospital on Enoch Street in Hinsdale.
That would be Thelma, I guess. I don't know. Siri doesn't know when I'm going to die. There's really only one person who does know. But one thing that I've really liked about Siri, many of you know we live in another state and I drive a lot. And so I spend a lot of time alone in the car. And I don't listen to the radio too much usually. But I always have learned to, and I've been driving this route for, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. You know, when we were first married, I lived down that way. And it's just kind of interesting. But hey, Siri, directions to home. So Siri's going to tell us exactly what route to take, but I'm not interested so much in the route because right now it says it will take me 1 hour and 15 minutes to get home. That's what Siri says, and it's pretty cool. I don't know how she knows this. Everywhere I go now, I turn Siri on. This morning we got in the car, I'm like, directions to West Hills Community Church, and it's like, oh, this is how long it's going to take because Siri's looking ahead. That's what I'm thinking. She's looking forward. Sort of like Star Trek. You know, what did they call those? Those forward, yeah, live long and prosper, Amber. they had those, the forward sensors, you know. It's like, what's going on? Before, I didn't know. You know, I would be coming out of Indiana, and then it's like, oh my gosh, there's a big accident up ahead. I wouldn't know it, but now Siri knows it somehow. And there's other apps like Waze and things that'll give you that stuff. But I really like it. It's like, well, it's going to take you this many minutes. Or sometimes she'll suggest, here's an alternate route because there's a problem up ahead. Wouldn't that be nice to know for everything in our life? Wouldn't that be nice to know for retirement planning how much money we need? Because if I'm dying tomorrow, I'm set. If I live to be 100, I'm in trouble, you know? It's like, but, and Siri can't help me with that. Siri could tell me, oh, gee, you're going to have cancer in 5 years or something. Maybe I could do something different. I don't know. But we kind of want to know what the future brings, but sort of like we don't, you know? I don't think I want to know, you know? Kind of life's a mystery. Life could be a surprise, and sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's bad. But I think we want to know, but how does that movie go? I don't think we could handle the truth because it might be kind of scary. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day. We just thank you for all the things that you've done for us, and we thank you for your mysteries, Lord, and we thank you that your word, your Bible, provides some direction for us and provides that the answers that we need as we look to the future. Amen. Okay, who do I have back on the screen there? Melissa? We're going to read Hebrews 11, and we're going to go through it pretty quickly, except this very first verse. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. How long are we going to live? How much money do we have? Are we going to be healthy? This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. He made something out of nothing. Next slide. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. Next slide. By faith, Enoch. Next slide. By faith, Noah. He's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in it, keeping with faith. How many of you have been to the Noah's Ark thing? I think it's in Ohio. We were there. It's huge. Or Kentucky. Okay. It's huge. I mean, and it's supposedly scale size. And, you know, they didn't have air conditioning in the Ark back then, but they do now if you go and visit it. But very important. But can you imagine, like, back in Noah's time, first of all, they didn't know what rain was. Never had a flood. This crazy old guy, he's like 400 years old or something when he starts. Takes him, I believe, you know, if you read different commentaries, like 90 years to build this thing. Can you imagine? Oh, don't let your daughter go by Noah's house on her way home from school because the guy's nuts. He's building an ark. Why would he do that? What is this ark thing? But he had faith because God told him to do it. I mean, think, would you do that? I don't think I know I wouldn't do that. You know, it's just like it's just way, way beyond. But this is what God told him to do, and he had faith, so he did it. Next slide. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home. Next slide. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect is builder is God. Now, here's a funny one. Even by faith, Sarah. How old was Sarah when she had a baby? Let's say she was old. I'm going to go with 90, I think. Something like that. She was past childbearing age. He was no youngster either, you know. But I didn't ask her this, but I'm going to go with a mother story. When Susan's mother, who'd be about 110 now or something, I don't know how old exactly she'd be, 107, I always thought the woman would, she died at 97 and a half. And I always thought, I told her, I said, I think you're going to live to be 100 and you're going to get a card, a birthday card from the president. And she never believed that, but she was in the hospital room, I remember, in Valparaiso, in Puerto Memorial. And we went to visit her there, and she was all, you know, in bed with all the stuff, oxygen and stuff. And I says, you know, I still think you're going to live to be 100. And she says, no. I says, well, you know, Sarah had a baby when she was 90. And she looked at me and she winks and she says, I better be careful. And I was like, wow, you got a good sense of humor, you know? It's like, I better be careful. Next slide, Melissa. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars. Next slide. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting they were foreigners and strangers on earth, knowing this isn't their real home. This isn't the final destination. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. Next slide. Next slide. By faith, Abraham. Now, how about this? Abraham, we want you to bring your son and, you know, bring some sticks and a knife and, you know, and then you're going to sacrifice him. And he was like, you got it. That's what you're calling me to do. I'm with you. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. What faith that guy had, you know? I'm not sure if he was better than Noah or not, but they're both pretty good. Next slide. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Is that the last one? Oh my gosh, let's keep moving faster. By faith, Isaac blessed. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. Next slide. By faith, Moses. Remember Moses? His parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because he was not an ordinary child. Next slide. By faith, Moses, when he'd grown up, he had faith too, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Next slide. By faith, he left Egypt. By faith, he kept the Passover. We still keep the Passover. Jews keep it. We've had them here a couple of times. The Passover Seder. That was thousands of years ago, but we still keep it. Next slide. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea on dry land. Remember? God parted the sea. How did that work? March. Move forward. But. March. But. Okay, and then the waters parted. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. How does that work? So we just walk around and blow trumpets and sing and carry on for 7 days and the walls just collapse? That's by faith. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed for those who were disobedient. Thank you, Melissa. So a lot of by faith. I think if I counted correctly, I think there's 19, but I could be wrong. So it's all about faith. So one thing that I figured out, I let people down, you know. People let me down. And I was thinking about it. It's like, oh, have your parents let you down? Probably. Have you let them down? Betcha that you have. Your children let you down. Your grandchildren let you down. Maybe you have siblings who have let you down. Maybe you have a job that's let you down or let you go. Maybe you have a church that let you down. Maybe you have a pastor that let you down. I don't know. But my guess is we've probably had all of them. People are going to let you down, but God's not going to do that. He won't let you down because going back to my mother-in-law, it's interesting, she's part of this. Her probably favorite verse of the Bible, because we actually put it on her tombstone. I remember having to do that. Didn't we have to get a new tombstone? It's a long... When they bought the tomb, you know, years ago when they made the tombstone, they put the year on it, and it's like 2000 now. But anyways, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will be with you to the ends of the earth. He will not let you down. He will never leave you. He will not let you down. You know, candy might let me down. Sorry. You have to see her Facebook post. Okay. Oh, no. No more cats, please. But, you know, people are going to let you down, but God will never let you down. In the darkest times, that's usually, I sent a message to somebody recently. I says, the littlest light can make the darkest dark disappear. The littlest light makes the darkest dark disappear, because He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So, the common theme back in this Old Testament, and this is New Testament, obviously, Hebrews, but most of the people he's talking, well, all the people we're talking about are all kind of the stars from the Old Testament, you know, Moses and Abraham and people like that. The common thing was that these people all had good reasons for not continuing in faith, you know? I mean, can you imagine being Noah? I would have been ripping him apart every time I saw him. You're doing what? What's wrong with you? You're building an ark? Are you crazy? You know, but he stayed the course. He could have easily went back and, you know, to his old ways of life, but none of them did. They persevered in light of it. And sometimes I think we think like, oh, we got it tough, you know, we got to. You know, and then I think of like Paul, oh, well, I've been beaten, I've been in prison, you know, I've shipwrecked, you know, it's like, you know, they didn't have almond milk today at Starbucks. I mean, that's like as bad as it gets for me some days, you know, but we think about that, but they had a lot of good reasons. Well, even Job, you know, it's like he took a lot, but yet he would not go back. And I think if anything, he had, I'll say, the most reasons to do it. So what does faith do? This is kind of the crux of the whole thing. There's two parts. Number one, it gives certainty of things hoped for. Okay? And it doesn't mean I'm going to win the lottery, or my cancer is going to be cured, or my marriage is going to be fixed, or my job is going to be fixed, or I'll get a new one or a better one. It gives certainty of things hoped for. One, I would say the big one, is the second coming of Christ. How do we know that? It says it, but, you know, who knows? But we have faith that this is true, and I believe he's coming back. And, you know, when? I don't know. It says nobody knows. You know, it could be today. We're probably a day closer than yesterday, so I don't know. But he's coming back, and I believe that. And another thing that I have faith on, I know when my day comes, it could be today, I don't know how it's going to be. I'm kind of a chicken. I really don't want to die a long, kind of drawn-out death, but we'll see what God has in store. Because there's another thing that says, where is it from? I think it's from the book of Numbers. It's an old Yiddish phrase, man plans, God laughs. You know, you're all making plans, but God's got his own plans. So, but whenever that day comes, I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with Jesus for eternity. And many of you know our friend Penny Greenwood, who no longer comes here anymore, but she used to have a phrase, well, in light of eternity, does it really matter? When you hold things up, in light of eternity. Eternity's a pretty long time, you know? If you hold things up in the light of eternity, does it really matter that much, you know, that there was no almond milk at Starbucks today, or, you know, and I don't drink that stuff. But anyways, so things like the second coming of Christ and where do you go when you die, if you're a believer in Jesus, that's the first part. The second part is the conviction of things not seen. Okay, we don't see, like I talked earlier when we were doing communion, all of our sins that we committed yesterday and that we're doing today and we're going to do tomorrow, those, if we believe in Jesus, they're covered, they're forgiven. They're all under the blood. And the Holy Spirit living within believers, I mean, how do we see that? I mean, we kind of see it by their words maybe, by their actions, but we don't see the Holy Spirit. And I think for me, one of the really, really big things is that I have access to God through prayer. I can pray for anything, anytime, and I don't need an appointment. I don't need a, what do you call it, an evite or anything like that. I can pray anytime. So can you. And some of you know we've begun developing a relationship with the Mustafa Mosque across the street. And so this morning we're driving up, and I says to Susan, okay, pray for Rashid. He's like the, I don't know, like the head guy. He's like the Paul of the mosque. And Paul and I have been praying for him, and, you know, it's like, pray for him. I don't need an appointment. It just happens to be the time I'm going by. You can pray for anybody, anything, anytime, anywhere. I've prayed on airplanes. I've prayed in some strange places, you know. But don't need an appointment. And it's just a pretty cool thing. So there's two verses. I hope I've got them marked right, that I think are very relevant to Hebrews 11. The first is out of Romans 10. So it taught, where does this faith come from? Where do you get it? You know, can you buy it at the store? Can you Amazon it? I don't think so. I'm not sure where you get it. But the Bible says in Romans 10:17, so faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the word of Christ. Faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through Christ. So to me, and you might have a different, it's like you got to be reading this book, because this is the word of God. This is like the manual, the instruction book, you know. This is what you need, because it comes from reading this, because it came from him. That's the first thing. And there's a story, oh gosh, what is it, Philip and the Enoch, and they're on the road, and, you know, it's like they're talking, do you believe? No, I've read it, but I don't get it. Somebody's got to, like, talk to me a little bit more about it. So who are you talking to about faith? Who in your world, you know? And then the other verse is, let me make sure, it continues in Romans 12:3-8. It says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. Now here it comes, wait for it. Each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Each according to faith, or the measure of faith that God has assigned. For it is in one body we have many members, okay? And not all members have the same function. I don't do well with children, you know. That's why I don't go downstairs, and I don't do well with computers and slides, but other people do. I don't do well with, there's a lot of things I don't do well with. I don't do well with the coffee, you know. But there's other people that do well with that. Oh, thank you. Oh. Amber. Okay. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate, the cheerfulness. I always like to talk about the Barnabas among us, the encouragers, you know. It's like, yeah, we have encouragers and people like that. All important, and it all makes up, but we all need to have some measure of faith, and whatever your measure is, you're supposed to go out and use it. So I also believe it says in Matthew, like, you know, faith can move mountains, like the little thing is a mustard seed. Doesn't take much faith, but it's like you talk to people who aren't believers, and they're like, so you really believe that? Doesn't make any sense. I'm like, usually God doesn't make sense. Whenever something happens in my life, or I think God's speaking to me, or telling me something, or showing me something, it's like, are you kidding? Can you think of Noah? You want me to build this ark? Think about that. That's not like some Bible story that we just teach to kids downstairs. And, you know, it really happened. He built this ark. And I have a feeling he took a lot of grief for it. Because if I would have been there, I would have given him grief for sure. So my closing questions, I guess, are, first of all, what do you have faith in? The Sunday school answer is Jesus. You know, that's what you're supposed to have faith in. But think of the things that you have faith in earthly, you know. What do you have faith in? What are you believing in? The chair is going to continue to hold you. It's sort of like gravity. I've never seen gravity. I kind of understand how it, you know, the mathematics, how they think it works, spinning and blah, blah, blah. But I don't think about it. I have faith that it's going to work. And when we were in Madagascar in South Africa, I always wondered how the plane landed upside down. Because, you know, we'd start here and we'd fly around there. And it's like, how does that work? It makes no sense. But, so think about what you have faith in. And then my exhortation to you is, maybe ask God, God, what would you have me to do? It might sound ludicrous. It might sound nuts what God's going to say to you. It might be just like, I want you to read your Bible a little bit. I want you to pray. I want you to start a ministry to do something, you know. I want you to, you know, witness to your neighbors. Can I have a witness there, Carlos? Okay. Carlos has been sending me this great stuff on witnessing, and I'm like, yeah, can I have a witness? I think there's a song like that, but... you know, what are you supposed to be doing? You've got this measure of faith. Some of us have a big measure. Some of us have a small measure, but we all have a measure. What are we supposed to do with it? Let's find out.
Hey, Siri. What am I supposed to do now?
You had one appointment at 11 a.m.
Oh. Okay. Well... Siri's telling me to take my medicine, which I took yesterday. So, Dave, are you still back there? I think. Well, hey Siri. What am I supposed to do with my faith? She said, "Interesting question." Let's. Hey Siri, what am I supposed to do with my faith? She didn't know what to say. She just says, interesting question. The same thing with me. I don't know what to tell you to do. I mean, I ask that question many times a week. What am I supposed to do, God? Where do you want me to go? Who should I talk to? What should I say? How should I say it? But what do you think God's having you to do? Because he wants us to do something. And it's out of faith. Faith that he will, if you ask, show me the person. And then if he says, oh, this person here, then, well, what should I say? You know, and it's like, ask God and, you know, go back and forth. And maybe it's nothing to do with that. Maybe he wants you to start the next world vision. I don't know. Somebody started it years ago, you know, from nothing. Everything, even God started from nothing and made something. So what can you do with what you've got to start something that he wants you to do? And I think it says, oh, my gosh. I'm not even going to try to quote the Bible because pastor guy's here. I know, I think it's Philippians. You know, I can do all things. Is that the one? Philippians? Okay, I can do all things through God. Who Christ who strengthens me. And that doesn't mean I'm supposed to go do everything. I'm just supposed to go do what God wants me to do. I can't do everything. I just need to do what God wants me to do. So the only way to find out is you can ask Siri, and I don't know, what do the other phones have that don't have, I mean, if it's not an iPhone, do they have Google? Yeah, Google doesn't know either. I don't care, you know. You got to go to the source. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and all these great people of the Old Testament who